So it's really great to be back with you again. Thanks for having us, and to see some faces we recognize and some that we don't. Thank you for your interest in us and prayers for us. We're going to be looking in this Bible Best Bits series from something from Ephesians 6, which has already been read to us. It's part of a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the believers in a city called Ephesus back in the first century. The letter's got a lot of teaching in it, and it would have been read out to the congregation and possibly actually explained by the person who brought the letter, because Paul was in prison. He couldn't go. And so they would have heard all this teaching being read out. And then they get to this bit, and it says here, and finally, verse 10, finally. Now, that's not like, you know, news at 10, when finally means now it's time for a funny story. Nothing wrong with that. But here, finally means something more than that. It kind of means, right, you've heard all what's gone before. Now get this straight, because from now on, this is really important. It's a kind of saying, go on, everyone, this is the last thing I'm going to say. Paul, it's almost like Paul knows he's only got a few inches of parchment left, and he's going to fill it with something that he needs, you know. From now on, get hold of this, guys. This is kind of what he's saying to them. And it's like this big idea that we start with in verse 10, which is this. He says, be strong in the Lord in his mighty power, because, verse 12, there's a reason for that. And this is my first kind of take home point, if you like, although you are at home, but you know what I mean. The point is this. There is a battle and we're in it. It says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and so on and so on. Now, the Ephesians had already heard, as they'd heard the letter read out to them, in chapter 2, it says that you used to follow the kingdom of the air, the spirit at work in those who are disobedient. Colossians is a letter Paul wrote at the same time, where he describes people who become Christians as being rescued from the kingdom of darkness. Ephesians are told in chapter 4 not to give the devil a foothold. So what's all this kind of saying? It's saying this, living with Jesus, being a Christian, involves being in a battle against evil. The Lord's Prayer has it, doesn't it? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When we become a follower of Jesus, we have changed our allegiance to him. And you know what? The old boss doesn't like it very much. The devil isn't pulling our strings anymore. Our allegiance is to Jesus. You know, sometimes as Christians, we either forget that or maybe even we miss it. We think that, you know, as John Wimber once said, that we think that being a Christian is like going on a cruise. You know, some of you out there, I know, have been on cruises and love going on cruises. And we went on one like a couple of years ago. We'll probably never go on one again, but then neither will anyone else either, by the way things are going. It's great. Everything's provided. You know, you've got all your luxuries, it's all inclusive. Even these ships are so amazing that they know where the storms are and can sail around them through their radar and whatnot. And we kind of maybe think the Christian life can be like that. And John Wimber says it's a bit of a shock when we come to get on our ship and we notice that it's painted grey and it's got two big black numbers or letters on the side of it. Because actually we're called into a battle. We're called into a struggle. And it's a real struggle. And in these verses we read what's up against us. It's rooted, it says, in the spiritual world. Our enemy is powerful, it's evil, and it's cunning. Talks about these schemes of the devil. You know, the enemy that we are fighting against or is seeking to oppose Jesus and his church is quite good. Actually, he is very good at what he does. A bit like the Russians, you know. We've had a lot, the West has had egg on our faces more recently, haven't we? And the Russians are a bit obvious. They're a bit clunky. They're completely brazen, if what we read is true, but they're very effective. And we're in that kind of battle against nothing to do with the Russians, but against a spiritual enemy who wants to oppose us and is stood against us and against Christ. Now, How does that help us to know that? It might make us a bit depressed. I think actually it's good to know it, because I find knowing that I am in a struggle helps make sense of some of my experiences. You know, if we forget that, we can be taken by surprise. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter, don't be surprised when you go into trials as if something strange is happening to you. And sometimes as we find that things are difficult, or we find it actually quite difficult in some ways to live this life that Jesus has called us to, when we're struggling, then it's good to know that we are in this battle. There's a battle on. We might as well be honest and realistic about it. Maybe it can be a relief to know it. Maybe like sometimes you have a situation where you just know something isn't kind of right in a situation. Or it could even be symptoms that you have, you know, of an illness. And then when you know what you're up against, there's a bit of a relief, because you think, right, now I know. And in this sense, I think this passage is telling us to know there's a battle. Be aware of it. That's my first kind of point. Second point, though, is this. On a more positive side, there is a strength from God for us in this battle, because God is with us and in it with us. Actually, he is victorious ultimately. So this passage says we can be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. If you've got Ephesians open in front of you, can I ask you to turn a couple of pages back to chapter 1, verse 19, where Paul is actually praying for the believers, and he shares what his prayer is. And he says, I pray, and in verse 19, that you might know something, in verse 18, that you may know these things. And one of the things in verse 19 is his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as his mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Did you notice those words there again? His mighty power, his strength. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power in which we can be strong in the Lord. In the Lord is a great expression. It's one of Paul's favorite ways of explaining or describing the Christian life. I don't know whether you've done Alpha, but Nikki Gumbel uses a brilliant illustration in Alpha. Here's my Bible. I have to hold it up. And here's a piece of paper, okay? If I put the piece of paper in the Bible, okay, the paper's in the Bible. So what happens to the Bible happens to the paper. The Bible goes there, the paper goes there. The Bible goes up, off your screen, the paper is there. And it's a great kind of illustration, because actually what happens to Jesus when we're in Christ kind of happens to us. So we're identified with him in his death and in his resurrection. The power that raised him from the dead, because we're in him, he is with us. We are so connected to him. You know, back in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 59, it talks about God wearing armor. In Isaiah 59, verse 17, it talks about God strapping on armor and going and fighting for his people. And God says, I'm going out to fight for you, and I'm putting on righteousness as a breastplate and the salvation as a helmet. And I think John Stott says in his commentary, you know, it's like God is saying, I'm giving you the armor. You know, I'm not wearing it for you. I'm giving you it, and you've got my armor. It is God's armor. He gives it us, and we're able to have his power and his strength. And what does that power and strength enable us to do? Well, if you read it through the passage, did you notice there's something that's mentioned four times, repeatedly? It helps us to stand, okay? To stand four times. It means we don't run away. It must be a big temptation, I know, is to run away when it gets rough. Or to get knocked out completely, or to lose ground. But we stand in his power. That's what it's for, to enable us to stand. Back in the 80s and 90s, and some of you remember this, I'm not going to look at anyone, we used to sing a lot of songs about being victorious, about, you know, claiming the ground and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. It was great. You know, it's true. But it's also true to say, you know, that there are some days, there are some times when, you know, I find this in my stage of life, forget about claiming proud of winning victories. Although I do want to be like Caleb, but forget that in one sense. At the end of the day, if like Elton John, I'm still standing, that's enough. And Paul is saying we can stand in God's power and God's strength, so that when we face things that could knock us over, like we realize that there's something very badly wrong with us. Maybe we get a cancer diagnosis, or someone we love does, or maybe we lose someone, or maybe when we realize that people actually kind of are against us just because we're Christians, or when we're touched by stuff outside of our control, when we're overwhelmed when it's gone so wrong, or we're disappointed that things haven't worked out, when we're aware of that pull of the old ways of temptation. These things can overwhelm us. At those times, we need just to stand. Paul talks about an evil day, we stand. I'm still standing because God's power can help me stand, can make me stand. So there's a battle on, but we can be strong and not be overwhelmed. We can be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I think that's encouraging. I think it helps you to see, helps me to see my life a bit differently, to realize that there's a big picture. But the third take-home point I've got is this. In this battle, God gives us resources. He gives us armor. We've already seen and thought a lot about that. I thought the sketch was great, by the way. Very, very good. There's armor in the battle because Paul is there. He's been either in house arrest or in prison. There are soldiers in his life. There are soldiers around him. As he thinks about being strong and standing firm and how God's strength can come to help the Ephesian believers and us to be strong, he sees soldiers in armor. And it gives him this kind of picture, perhaps, or it might have reminded him of Isaiah 59. We don't know. But he says that we can put on the whole armor of God. Twice he says, whole armor, God's armor, put it on. Resources from God to us. God's armor for us. A bit like PPE, I suppose. And we need to put it on. Now, there's two kind of ways of seeing this, really. And they connect. You see, the soldiers around Paul at the time would not be engaged in battle. They'd have been around doing, I suppose, admin or making sure he was all right or bringing orders in or whatever. They're not engaged. They're not necessarily out there with their swords and shields and so on, but they're still dressed. I mean, the Roman soldier, it talks about a tunic. I guess whether they slept naked, got up in the morning, or whether they had some kind of tunic on, they slept in. So they get up, they've got the tunic, and the first thing they do is they get this belt, okay? This belt was a thick leather belt. It a bit like Batman's utility belt without the pouches and the gadgets, but it did have a way which the sword could be strapped onto. So this belt went on first, probably pulled quite tight, and then the tunic would be tucked into it. It held everything together. And Paul says, okay, we've got that. That's part of it. And then the soldier would have a breastplate. Now, again, notwithstanding what we just saw in the kids' video, I don't think about the medieval breastplate. This is what you should think about. I don't know whether you've been watching it or whether I should confess it if I have, but Line of Duty. Anyone been watching Line of Duty box sets recently? Okay. So what happens here? The police, when they go out for something, they've got this armor thing or this kind of vest that covers their front and their back. Sometimes if they're running to the incident, they're putting it on or they've looked at the Roman breastplate was like that in a way, not made of Kevlar, but it was the back and the front and it went on next. And then with the shoes, again, you need to think leather, really thick leather trekking sandals, okay? Really seriously, sturdy. And they had metal studs in them for stability. And that's the core of the armor. And that makes the soldier available. He's up, he's dressed, he's ready, as it were. And Paul says, we're like that. There is this belt of truth, God's truth. We've believed that truth. We've staked our life on that truth. We've obeyed that truth, and we live that truth. And because it's God's truth that we live, and Jesus is the truth, we live him, we're in him, and God's truth is reliable, and everything gets held together by that. And we live that way, so there's a sense of integrity as well. We are people, not just of the truth, but people of truth. When we say something, we mean it. We don't lie. We're straight. So there's that element of it as well. It's basic and it's there. And it's what God has given us. When we became a Christian, that truth, as it were, became part of our experience. And the breastplate, as Paul says, is righteousness. And again, when we read of righteousness in the New Testament, it's frequently talking about how Jesus has made us righteous. We've got no righteousness of our own. No matter how hard we try and do the right thing in some ways, we're bound to fail. But when we realize that and we come to know God through Jesus, his righteousness is given to us. And we're given the Holy Spirit to enable us to live his righteous way. So again, we're in the right with God because what Jesus has done. We're forgiven. Our consciences are clean. We belong to God. Kind of, it's given to us. We have that because, you know, without that, we're not believers in the first place. And then finally, there's the shoes in this section. And the shoes are the gospel, the good news of peace with God, the gospel of peace. We know that gospel. Again, that's why we're believers. We heard it and we responded to it. We trusted Jesus. We gave him our lives. We kind of surrendered to his lordship. We're in his kingdom. Why? Because of that gospel. And it talks about a readiness it's the readiness of the gospel. And we're kind of wanting to share it. Now, many of us, I'm one of them, feel that we're a bit rubbish at sharing it at times, but we all want to, don't we? Ever since we became Christians, there was something in us that is saying, you know, I want other people to know about this. It's the gospel. It's there as our kind of basic armor. That started when we became a Christian. And the Holy Spirit does that in us. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the one who enables us to know that righteousness. He's the one that makes us ready to share the gospel. So we can stand in God's power because he's done all of that. It's on us, like the armor on the soldiers around Paul. It's been on them since they got up in the morning because they're not walking around in their tunics, as it were. There's this basic kind of stuff that we have. You are God's soldier. I am God's soldier because of what he's done for me and what he's made me. It's on. Remember that. Live in the light of that. Live it out. Especially when the evil day comes. These are really important things to have in our lives. Okay, so imagine soldiers with this stuff on. Then comes the call. Maybe these soldiers around Paul get a shout out, as they say in the emergency services, and then they have to go out and do something. Maybe they're going to have to go out, march off to war, and so on and so on. Again, think of the firemen, you know, in our emergency services. They're in the mess. The bell rings, they've got their basic stuff on, but they have to pick up their helmets and their other things, and then they go off to do the firefighting and so on. And Paul says, as well as having got these bits on already, you take, and he talks about three things to take as we are engaging in this spiritual conflict. What do we take? The first one is a shield. The Roman soldiers had a big shield. It was almost as tall as some of them. There was also a smaller one, but Paul is referring to the large one. It was fireproof. It was sturdy. Sometimes they'd hold it up in front of them and in lines, and people behind them would put it on their heads, and they'd be like a human mobile tank. You know, it was so kind of strong. And when they went out to fight, they'd take that shield. And the shields had fire retardant material on them. So the enemy would shoot these flaming arrows at them. You know, you've seen that in many kind of depiction of ancient warfare. And the shield would prevent, the arrows would either glance off the shield, or if they went in, the shield wouldn't catch fire. And Paul says here, the evil one fires these flaming arrows. Well, what's a flaming arrow? Well, you might say it's a flaming thing sent by a flaming archer, but a flaming arrow is an arrow on fire. What's the enemy's evil, the evil one's flaming arrows? What is it? Well, I think it's anything that, you know, you ever had that experience where something happens and you think, where did that come from? It just kind of, it's there. It happens. It actually might be a thought. It might be an image. It might be an impulse. It might be a desire to react in a certain way when someone pushes your button. And you think, that's funny. You know, suddenly it's there. I think that's a flaming arrow of the evil one. And what's the answer or what's the response to it? It is faith, the shield of faith. What is faith? Faith is what it's always been. When we became a Christian, you exercised faith. I exercised faith. I believed what God said and I acted on it. I believed the gospel and I repented and I asked Jesus to forgive me and bring me into his family. What do? When we're in trouble, well, we know what God says, we believe it and we act upon it. So we say, I'm not going to do that. I reject that thought. I'm not going to go down that line. I'm going to not react in that way. Why? Because I'm trusting God and I'm trusting in what he's done. And that's the way I'm going to be living. So that's the shield of faith. And then Paul says, take the helmet of salvation. Now, Roman soldiers had this helmet. It was made of metal. It had a felt thing to make it a bit easier to wear. Salvation is a helmet. What's that about? Well, I think it's saying this. Look, never forget that God has saved you. Never forget that the biggest miracle has already happened. You are that saved person. I have been rescued from the dominion of darkness. I have come from death to life because God has done it for me in Jesus. It's been sorted. So whatever happens to me, even if I die, I'm safe because I'm saved, because I belong to Jesus and I can trust him. Never forget. I must never forget that I'm a saved and rescued person. Because if I go into battle and forget that, I think I can do it and I can't. I'll get clobbered by the enemy and so will you. Because we go kind of in the salvation that God has offered us or given us rather. He saved us and he is still saving us. And then Paul says, finally, there's this short sword that you can take. It's not like the long one. It's a short hand-to-hand sword for close combat. And Paul says it's the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, the Bible, God's truth, memorized, known, understood, able to be quoted. That's what Jesus did in temptation, wasn't it? He says to the devil three times, this is what God says. This is what the word says. It is written. And you know, there are times when we simply just need to kind of speak out that word. You know, you may be being intimidated by the enemy. You may be overwhelmed. You may be, you know, fearful. You know, there are verses in the Bible, you know, that the Bible says, I will trust in God and not be afraid. And I'm going to stand on that. You know, the enemy may be accusing you of something, you know, oh, you've got to do that again. You'll never be any different. What does it say in the Bible? If anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. Get off my back. I don't have to do that. I'm a new creation in Christ, and so on and so forth. I sometimes get dreams. Very occasionally, I get really evil dreams. I wake up, and maybe you've had that experience. Sometimes I've woken up and quite, you know, literally spoken a word from the Bible. And the evil has kind of not been there anymore. The Bible in our battle. The Holy Spirit will bring that to your mind. He will help you. He will give you what to say. So these are these weapons, as it were, of warfare that we take with us as we engage so that we can stand in the evil day. Finally, Paul says there's one other thing. He says praying. He says something at the end here. He says, pray always, every way, for everybody. And prayer, that's pretty comprehensive. And prayer, I think, too, is part of our battle. Because as we go into battle, we need comms, don't we? We need communication. And isn't it amazing that whoever we are, imagine you were back in the Second World War and you were down in the desert somewhere. Where is it? In North Africa. And people talk about General Montgomery, who was the hero. You know, he was a great hero as a leader. Imagine if you were an ordinary foot soldier in that battle and you had a direct line to your hero and leader, Monty, anytime you wanted it. In the battle, we can speak directly with our captain, our Lord, our conquering hero, Jesus, who, as we're in battle, we pray because he will hear us. Prayer is part of the spiritual warfare. You can't do spiritual warfare without prayer. It's just impossible. So, all of this is about living in what God has done for us, isn't it? And doing what he tells us, trusting him as we go, going with his word, remembering that we're saved by him, that he's given us this, you know, this salvation. Remembering that you know, we can take the belt of truth. It's there. It's his truth. And we can continue with everything else he's given us as we go into battle, talking with him in prayer, trusting in his word. Now, the thing about all of this is these are all the basics of being a Christian. You don't have to go on a special course to learn this stuff. It's absolutely being what we are, living in what God has done for us, connecting with his life in us day by day as he leads us, being strong in the Lord, living in his armor, being the Christian he's called us to be, keeping on standing because we can stand in him and in the power of his might. Let me pray. Lord, we pray that as your people, we may know that power in the Lord, that we may be strong in the Lord and in his, your mighty power. We pray, Lord, that this week, whether we face struggles inside our heads and in our hearts or in our relationships, in other ways as we go back to work, or in just coping with the circumstances of life and the things that come our way, Lord, we pray that in whatever situation we're in, Father, we pray in the power of the Spirit, because we are in Christ, we want to be believers who stand for you this week and give you glory, which we're glad to do in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't choose it, but I think that if I thought of it, I would have done. There's only one song to sing after a message about the armor of God. It's, O Church of God, arise and put your armor on. I don't know whether you want to stand, not for me to say, but you might even stand up as you sing it. Who knows? But I don't know whether I will. I feel like I'll have to now I've said that. I probably will carry on singing. Anyway, we'll carry on with that song, and then Ian will come back, I believe, at the end of the service. Bless you.